pellet-based for heating or something would be an example of that. So there's it's really multifaceted, I think, and I can't really answer that question. The only way I can answer that is no, we have not told the board every single thing because I don't even think we've identified everything yet.
The demand side analysis, as I'm sitting here now and getting a better understanding of what you're saying, there's a couple of angles to it, which is interesting. One is, you know, for example, when we were bumping up against our upper end of Taiyuan when it was cold, we switched our school and the public safety building over to diesel. So it actually costs us more to run those facilities on diesel than it does on electric. So we offset power out of there to do that. So if a community does that, we in some ways you lose revenues through certain actions, we will lose revenues through certain actions. And so I appreciate that on the large scale, if we're deferring a project till down the road that has a major impact, that's fine. But if we're doing it to manage because we have an inability to meet the needs because of peaking or whatever it might be, that's a bit different to me. Mm-hmm. And that's where I would like to see scalable projects that are manageable and don't cost an arm and a leg to help offset that so we have that peaking capacity down the road.
So I think part of this thing for me is that if we're going to do this, we need, and it's going to get over to who's responsible. I think SEPA will be able to put some of this stuff together, but we need the information from the local communities in regards to what you guys are tracking, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What your generation is, how you use your generation, and what you assume your load is, and what it's been looking like.
Are each community, I mean, this is like down to a detail level, but for example, is each community going to sponsor a program to allow heat pumps to be installed if they work in the same way they do down here in homes? That saves electricity.
Yeah.
So are you going to do that? And who's going to be responsible for that? And are you going to look at that in conjunction with, do you build your next increment of power? And is that a hydro project? Is it a solar project? Is it a wind project? Should you do that, or could you save that equal amount just by implementing these strategies?
And incentivizing it.
And Bob, you made a great point, is that when you do that, the maintenance of the system and the budget that the system has for that maintenance is recovered through power sales. And so what is the ultimate goal and objective, and how does it impact that so that you can continue maintaining the system and funding future capital investments and replacements? Mm-hmm.
So are you asking, Bob, that be put on as a separate objective then?
Well, I think it has to run concurrently with what we're doing, yeah, because it has an effect, right?
Yeah, but I mean, talking about putting emphasis on it, is that what you're also saying? Do that before you do some of the other? I'm still tracking where you're headed.
Well, I think that when we go through the thought of what we can do in regards to demand side management, we got to also anticipate and analyze what the cost of doing that is in regards to how we operate.
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned talking about actually putting a program in place with regard to heat pumps. Well,
as an example,
when we had the drought going on and we had a diesel surcharge in place, the cost of electricity was, 40-50% more than it normally would be. We sent out public service announcements that said, turn your heat down a little bit. Turn the lights off when you can. And that had, because of the cost of the electricity being much higher, had a dramatic effect. Okay, but in general, there's a consequence to that. That if we're in scenarios where we don't have a surcharge and the rate is flat, or the rate is where it is now, and everybody stops using less electricity, we still have infrastructure to build, we have employees to pay, and all those things to happen. So, no matter what happens here, this all comes back to rates. So
yeah, I had the same thought because of the discussion that we are going to the discussion of rates is going to come up, and maybe it could be raised. So there might be the negative feedback where people are already going to cut back.
So the perfect example is when they had the slide up there, and they lost Snatisham and Juneau. And so everything went up. They started burning their diesels, and these guys were paying 50 cents or something like that. And so they really quickly adapted to conserving. You know, LED light bulbs were just everywhere. And then they started turning the heat down, and they changed their heat sources. They never recovered from that. There's always right. been a deficit. They never got back to what the original load was.
For 10 years.
Yeah.
Dramatic decrease for 10 years.
Yeah. Oddly enough, that's part of the complicated study.
Yeah.
That goes into, and when Trey said, you know, it's $200,000, you know, that's where it comes to all those scenarios that have to be ran to understand what that full impact is. So that if you say, okay, if you're going to use demand side management, you're going to use voltage control demand response, and then the decision of this board would be how far down will SEPA reach? So if SEPA, is SEPA going to control your water heater? Can SEPA, if SEPA needs to shut off water heaters, and this is just an example.
Unknown.
If they're trying to control the demand, can SEPA reach down through the point of demarcation where they're selling to all the cities and then keep reaching all the way to the customer's water meters?
That's the utility's job.
That's
the utility's job.
And I've seen the GMT do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen people not like that. I mean, you know, so, and they, but that is where, who's, the GMT knows what they're demanding, what they're generating, and how do they communicate that and get response back from it, and then how do the people, what's the mechanism that allows that to happen?
Yeah, that's part of the discussion, no doubt.
It is. Mm. It's a very complicated discussion, so.
I think one role that SEPA could play, and it's really at the discretion of the board, is that, first of all, is demand side management something that you want help with or that you have an interest in? And yep. If so, then we could be the spear tip to lead a regional effort to look at those things, and that would take some money, and it'd be an in-depth study, and we don't currently have the staff to do that. But it's not... It's something that we could do if that was the desire of the board.
So can I make a quick clarification? Because I know we might have others listening when we talked about rates, and I said this is all about rates. At the end of the day, the objective is to keep the rates as low as possible. If that means not having an additional multi-million dollar project that's going to ultimately raise rates by doing some other structure, that's what I'm referencing right. when I'm talking about rates.
That's so, the whole obviously. Objective of demand side management is to not have to make a large capital investment and have a huge step change in your rates.
I just wanted to make sure
no,
that
it's
was
good,
on the record.
Good to reinforce that a couple of times.
When was the last time you guys had a rate?
We haven't had one for 22 years on the wholesale power rate. 22 years, yeah.
For us, January.
That's impressive.
Right.
And how old is your infrastructure?
35, 36 years old in that range.
And reliability is great. I mean, I haven't heard anyone say anything about reliability today, so yeah.
It's just got better and better and better. Yeah. No longer do they have an outage in Ketchikan that kicks a toaster off in Wrangell.
We have a robust system. It's still only... that we don't have redundancy, and it's not a loop system or anything like that, but our system's well maintained, and the board funds proactive R&R program, which is key to doing that. So yeah.
But when you talk about that again, we got to remember that with the latest drought, we weren't able to put money back into the account. So again, we talk about rate structure. You got to make sure we maintain a rate structure to keep our operations reliable and up to date.
Right, for sure. Right. And that's all part of it. Okay, all right, so let's circle back, and I think we've got one more objective on here, but so the first one out the chute was bundle hydro projects, or we've got a hydro presentation coming out for the board with recommendations and potential costs. We've got timing to manage debt to influence, to engage. So basically, we're looking for board direction on timing for when and where to engage in these capital CapEx projects. evaluation of a demand-side management program, as I said earlier, and then we just affirmed it a second ago, and then generation and load projections. And so that, I think that was for the munis to provide the CIPA?
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
It's not in reference to, say, the Black Beach information that you already have. Given that, Lisa, you brought up the fact that there could be certainly a surprise in the way the shipping things change in the future and that kind of thing. So there may be something to certainly watch to see if there is changes to the projections that Black Beach made. But I know that, Sharon, you had said that those have been very, very accurate to this point.
And then lastly, I mean, we're talking about, and we don't have anything on here about it, but we've talked about these other resources and CEPA potentially being a venue for vetting them in terms of wind, hydro, marine. Yep.
Well, we're going to do those on a parallel track.
Parallel track.
And okay. We continue the research. We have no viable project yet, but we have to continue the gathering the data.
And it's appropriate that CEPA is the one that does this?
Correct.
Okay, so let's capture that. So on a parallel track, so you basically it'll be okay. And then what about Pebble Bed React? What about nukes? I think you were the one that mentioned nukes, small nuke.
Yeah.
That also in this mix?
Well, I just think that it's something the whole industry is going to keep their eye on as they continue to work with that. I know that our delegation had talked about it in regards to rural Alaska, because fuel is so hard to go out there. They're gonna come up with a design that is acceptable and reasonable to put into remote places where they're not on a grid. That's going to happen.
NDA is looking into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now they're about 6 to 7 years out to have a working model that they could get certified. Mm-hmm. I've been watching that technology. It's moving along, but it's a very slow process because you have to go through the nuclear regulatory commission.
Right. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, just for our planning in the city, is that something that you would place sort of locally, or would you have we need to take a look at some of our ordinances here?
We are a nuclear-free zone.
Nuclear-free zone.
You can't put nukes in your place?
Exactly.
Nope.
You know, our mayor,
just saying,
years ago, made us a nuclear-free zone. So.
Yeah.
Can you burn
30
electrons?
Yeah, dead serious.
we can have a CAT scan machine.
No,
that's
no,
about
no,
it.
No clean vision.
Okay. No clean vision. All right.
We're going to go revisit that one.
All right. So there's a whole bunch of deliverables here under this one. And it's great because it covers a lot of the topics that we had up here. So let's work through it. And
I think you're going to need a bigger box there.
Yeah. Need multiple box. Yeah, and actually, I think we're just going to create it over here, so this will be 2A continued.
Never quite that's to Seattle again.
I'm not sure you guys will make it home.
So who's responsible for providing the bundle of hydro project presentation board for recommendation and costs?
That's going to be CEPA staff. Okay. Trey, who of course is at the head of that.
Okay, and then when is that happening?
So I would say on that particular element of the hydroside evaluation stuff, let's put that. I think that deliverable. Let's just put it year end.
Okay.
So that's just hydroside though, and then.
We don't work on a fiscal year anymore.
So 2021?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and just to put some context around that deliverable, we were able to, and I don't know if I've communicated this completely to the board or not yet, we were able to extend our grant monies for an additional year till next June. So we won't lose those, so we have a little bit more time.
And is that when you also release the information, turn the documents over to the?
Yeah, when we're all done, we'll first do a presentation to the board and look at a few things there, and then we'll do a presentation to AEA. And then out of that process, there may be a few cleanup items or something they want us to do, some follow-up in particular areas or something. So, but that's moving along fairly well, and we currently have a team A contractor working on the majority of that right now, and that portion is grant funded.
Okay. So is there a human element to this in terms of cost?
So we've got the contractor working on it, and it's grant funded. And it takes mostly just my time because I'm leading that effort.
So no change there, and then on the funding, there's no change because it's funded?
Yeah, we're good right now, yeah.
Nice, well done.
Is that for all those deliverables?
No, we're talking about deliverable number one.
Yeah, I know. We got to keep Trey on the hook for all of these. All right, so someone's got to help me out here because I can't remember what I wrote here. So
the timing, I think I made a comment there with regard to timing. In timing, on the whole concept of when to build new generation is critical, because that means is. Whether you're making any additional revenue to pay your debt service. So essentially, if we were burning diesel every single year right now, well, we'd be getting after new hydro because we'd as soon as we brought it on, we'd be having some contribution to the debt service. If we brought it on today and it was rainy for the next 4 or 5 years, we'd have zero contribution to it, and we'd have to increase rates substantially to pay for it.
Okay. So timing to determine when to take on debt to influence the process.
All right.
Okay, got it. And then, and that's for board. All right, so who's responsible for that one?
So that's one of the crystal ball ones. And I'll say that I think it's number five there, or maybe four. It's the load forecasting. Is a key part of that, right? That'll more than likely dictate your timing. But there's also a little minutia there, right? Because you may decide we want to go ahead and start licensing a project. The actual build out, that might be the timing element that's a little bit more flexible, that you pull that trigger when you know you have some potential load.
Okay.
So the staff, again, will put that information together. It'll be the board that'll make the decision on when we're going to do the
CEO
funding.
And board. And best guess on when. I know you're trying to hold you to it.
Within the next 15 years.
Yeah. 15 years. Well, so the timing issue and the load profile portion of it, we monitor that annually. So for instance, I'm working on a parallel path right now to see if I can secure some interruptible loads with the cruise industry because to some new build out in a cove that we have. If I'm able to secure that, well, then I've got a different argument I can bring back to the board and say, hey, we've got some potential risk abatement if we go to fast forward on a project. So I would say that one is the timing's it's really dependent on load, anticipated load, and load forecasting.
Okay, and so are you cool with me lumping these two together?
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate actually, unless somebody wants to have them separated.
All right, so it'll be contingent upon load forecast. Evaluation or what you get for
it's an ongoing forecast because it's going to change as we move towards that.
Okay.
And load forecasting is a shared responsibility. We got to get the correct information from the munis in order to bring it back and correlate it to what the overall power usage is, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
And one example of that is we just had a cold snap. And I still want to see some correlation between temperatures and what the loads were in the individual communities so we can see, well, what really was our peak compared to previous years in similar temperature conditions.
So like degree day demand peak?
Exactly. But it's the challenge is we got to find a comparative one in the past for the same heating degree temperature day. So, but that definitely takes some interaction with the local utilities to see what they had.
So I added munis here. So who's responsible? CEO, board, and munis. In terms of human resources, it's going to be same, different?
I'd say for the most part, we do that in-house, that portion of it. So we don't. Sometimes we'll go outside and hire a consultant to put together a new load forecast or something, but we kind of have all the bones put together right now. So, there's not much happening. I mean, if anything, you know, there's two major components, right? You know, if you have a large industrial load or commercial load come in, and population growth, and population stagnant, and some of our current industrial and commercial loads are going away or diminished.
So in regard to the load growth information, power information, all that kind of stuff, are those in an electronic format that could be correlated in a program of some kind? I mean, how do you put that stuff together? I mean, if you're not going to hand them out 10 sheets of paper that say this is what we did or this or this.
It matters if you're looking at historical data or if you're forecasting, right? And in forecasting, you're going to take an average over the past few years and you're going to correlate that out. It's probably, and then you're going to identify anything new that you know that's on the horizon or that might be leaving. And that's going to give you your line for the most part. And sometimes we'll take we'll use the Black and Veatch as an example. And in the past, sometimes we've provided the old Black and Veatch, and we've shown what the Black and Veatch was, and then we've included what really happened, right? So you can kind of correlate that, and it's still holding fairly true.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking if there was a CAN program or something that somebody's doing out there to correlate and put it in a format that you could utilize and understand, or if it's just an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, I think it's just some internal.